B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Yes, if that's possible.
Oh,
yes.
Is it possible? It's already happening, Alex. You're going to the Temple game. We're giving you tickets courtesy of the great people of Temple University, my alma mater. Temple football is battling Memphis this Saturday, October 12th at 12 p.m. That's 12 noon at Lincoln Financial Field. Don't miss Temple homecoming festivities at the game. Kids' tickets on game day are only $10. Visit owlstix.com. Congratulations, Alex. You're going to see Temple beat Memphis. That's right. Take it to that honky-tonk town.
Yeah.
You like that? It's not often I get to use the word honky-tonk.
No, thankfully.
The 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated with escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net to set up a free benefits analysis today. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio. Only from Comcast. Coming up in just a second, we'll talk to the great Ron Jaworski. And then at 9 o'clock, we're going to talk to Jason Avant, who, Trey, I don't know if you heard him yesterday, he had some piping hot takes about this game.
Okay.
Our man Alex right there might think we're being a little negative, maybe a little Debbie Downer-ish for this game. No. We're calling it as we see it. That's what Jason Avant was doing. But right now, who better to break down a game like this in a game that might be a high-flying attack than Ron Jaworski? Ron, good morning, sir.
Gentlemen, great to be with you, and I certainly agree. This is a litmus test game. We're going to find out a lot about the Birds on Sunday.
I agree. What's the bigger test you see? Was it the Packers game, or is it this Vikings game?
I think it's this game. I really do. We now have a template of what every team is right now. Barring injuries, we know what they are. And, you know, we've seen 5 games of the Eagles. We've seen a bunch of games for the Vikings. They match up, you know, I think very evenly in this game. But this is one I think we find out who they are.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there, and that's a great point, considering now week 6, these other teams have had those 5 weeks to kind of get in shape, get their plays down and all that. How do you evaluate Kirk Cousins as a quarterback? Because there's some debate about him. He seems to always be one of the guys that's up there in completion percentage. He certainly has some great weapons out there in Minnesota. How do you evaluate Kirk Cousins as a QB?
Well, I think number one, you know, what the average fan seems to look at, Kirk Cousins got that $84 million contract, and, you know, he was going to take the Vikings to the Super Bowl. Well, that didn't happen. And clearly when you put that dollar sign around a player, the expectations go way, way up. You know, we've seen that here in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz. You know, the expectations now are very high. You've got to play to that financial compensation amount that you are given. So I think Kirk Cousins has not met that demand as far as the dollars he's paid. But if you look at his tape, you look at his performance, he has played very well on the field. Now, everyone's going to throw out he hasn't played great against good competition, and to a certain degree, I would agree with that. But when you look at Kirk Cousins, he's a professional quarterback with a lot of talent. Like most quarterbacks in this league, you better have a strong supporting cast. He now has that strong supporting cast. I think now with Kevin Stefanski as his offensive coordinator, there's kind of a better feel for what is expected of Kirk Cousins. I think it always takes a little time. It took 5 games for the Vikings to figure out what he is in this Stefanski scheme, and I think we saw it best last week against the Giants in New York, where it was the movement. Get him outside, use a play-action passing game, have a balanced offense. That's when Kirk Cousins is at his best.
What's the best way for the Eagles to approach this game from their offensive perspective? Is it an air attack? Is it trying to just ground and pound type of thing? What's the best way for Doug Peterson to draw up the game plan going into this game?
I think if you become one-dimensional in this game or any game, you play into the hands of the defense as an offensive team. This Vikings defense is very, very good. They can rush the passer. You know, they got Daniel Hunter, who's an outstanding pass rusher, and Everson Griffin. And Linval Joseph has always played well against the Eagles. Their second is very, very good. You know, they'll probably match up Xavier Rhodes and get him out there on Alshon Jeffrey. He matches up very well against him. Their linebackers can fly to the football. You know, Mike Zimmer, their head coach and the guy who is his backbone, his defense, has always done a tremendous job with double-A pressures, those pressures up the middle, and manufacturing pressure on the quarterback. So clearly, I think when you play a team that can play pass coverage well, can stop the run, you better be balanced and stay ahead of the down. In other words, don't get into those known passing situations, second and long and third and long. That's when you get in trouble against a good defense like the Vikings.
How much do you think not having DeSean Jackson with this is going to affect it? Because when I go back and I watch that secondary, what they're doing is keeping everybody in front. And if you don't have a speedster to get behind them, you know, they're just going to play back and keep everybody in front of them.
Hey, Trey, you're absolutely right. And the one thing that this Eagle team has lacked, you know, has been the deep ball. And as I looked at this game, one area that does concern me is Carson is only averaging 6.62 yards per attempt. And you can compare that to Kirk Cousins, who's at 8.26, so a yard and a half more per attempt. And it's a very, very important stat when you look at the outcomes of football game, the yards per pass attempt from a quarterback. So clearly at 6.62 for Carson Wentz, that's not where he needs to be. And that's where DeSean Jackson comes into play. I think it's critical that he gets healthy and the explosiveness will come back to this Eagle offense.
Charles, the numbers say that the Eagles' run defense is really, really good, and it's pretty obvious. But I go to the side that other teams haven't concentrated on running the ball against the Eagles, and they haven't really gone up against a really number one back like a Dalvin Cook. What do you think about that, the running game of Minnesota versus the Eagles' run defense this weekend?
Yeah, you mentioned the guy, Dalvin Cook, and he is a tremendous running back. This guy can flat out fly. He's tough. He's powerful. I mean, he is an NFL back, you know, number two in rushing. And when I say an NFL back, he's a guy that can do it all. He can catch the football. He can block. He's an every down back. And if you blink, he's going to run by you. So I think it's the first time the Eagles are facing what I would consider, you know, an NFL back that can make them pay if they make a mistake. But this defense is very, very good, guys, against the run. I mean, you just don't move those guys inside. And Trey knows they're just big bodies. They drop their anchor and you can't move them. And a lot linebackers to fast flow, and I thought last week against, I know it's the lowly Jets who are dreadful. It was an embarrassment for the NFL and Adam Gase to put that offense on the field. But what I saw in design from Jim Schwartz was phenomenal. He was creative with his blitzes. He blitzed more than I've ever seen him blitz in a game. Of course, he had a quarterback that probably could be playing for the Philadelphia Soul, let alone the New York Jets. But they got after him. You know, they came off the edge. It was creative. It was blitz pressure. Their young offensive line, the Jets, didn't understand it. So Schwartz was very creative. And I think, you know, he's becoming more creative with this defense because injuries have forced him to do that. He's got to, I like to say, rent space in a quarterback's mind, you know, create some doubt, create some areas where the quarterback doesn't know what the coverage is going to be. So I think Schwartz has really had a good year in his design.
Now, one of the things I look at when I watch this offensive line with the Minnesota Vikings is they do a lot of cutting, where they're going to cut on the backside, they're going to cut when they get up to the linebackers. Do we need to have more aggressive? I know it's hard moving our D linemen, but I think for us, our linebacker play is going to have to be a little bit more aggressive. What do you see there?
Yeah, no question about it, Trey. And I think, you know, that's one thing, those stretch outside zone plays that Vikings like to run. You know, the league has changed a lot of the rules, you know, from cutting that backside. The old cut rules where, you know, you used to fall in the back of guy's legs, Trey. I mean, you wouldn't do that, but you know, there were some players that did that, you know, those cut blocks, which are now illegal. So it forces the offensive line now to get their hat across the bow. You know, in other words, that reach block is a lot tougher. But when you got a guy like Dalvin Cook, he doesn't need a whole lot. I mean, this guy has great explosiveness, and if they do seal that backside, you're going to get some lanes for him, you're going to get some cracks, and he'll make you pay for him. So I think clearly the run fits by the linebackers, the defensive line, are absolutely paramount, that the Eagles got execute that very well.
Speaking with Ron Jaworski, Ron, there was another egregious non-pass interference play last night that was reviewed in the Patriots-Giants game and still not ruled pass interference. You're a quarterback in this league for a long time. You've been an analyst for even longer. What the hell is pass interference?
Let's see. I came to the league in 1973. I know that's a long time ago,
guys. That was
the
year before I was born.
That's a long time. That's what I said, Trey. It's a long time ago. And pass interference back in 1973 wasn't clear. Here we are, 47 years later, pass interference, I think, is more unclear. Now we've got all the technology. We've got the replays. I think, you know, I'm watching the coaches, and particularly Pat Shurmur, because you can see on his face how Pat feels in all these plays. I'm like, I just, you know, you can challenge anything. It may look obvious to to us, but when those guys in New York, those guys, and they bring that surface out in the field, I don't know what they're looking at, but it's still very, very confusing to me, and I think anyone that's watched football as long as I have is still confused by it.
Jaws, in 2017, the Eagles were phenomenal in the first quarter, and Carson Wentz especially. They put up a lot of points, his passer rating through the roof. What's changed so much in 2 years that they just can't get started on the right foot?
You know, it's funny. It's an area I spent some time on this week trying to figure out it and thinking back to coaches that I played with, you know, and guys like Chuck Knox and Dick Vermeil and Marty Schottenheimer and the winningest coach in the history of the NFL, Don Shula. You know, I mean, these are guys that have won over 1,000 games, you know, and I played for some of the best coaches, and they form my football philosophy. And I tried to think, when a quarterback starts slow or when I started slow, what changes, you know, were made to try to turn things around? What changes were made to get the offense jacked up a little bit early in the game? Because, I mean, Carson is really playing good football, except in the first quarter. I mean, he's been dreadful in the first quarter, guys. His completion percentage is 48%.
Mm-hmm.
I said that 48%, and I'm saying it twice because I can't believe I'm saying that. A guy of that talent, the weapons around him, you know, he's the 32nd ranked quarterback in the first quarter of a game. So how do you get that, you know, get off the schneid, I guess, as Chris Berman would say, you know, to get him going.
Right.
And I think this is where, you know, a Mike Groh and a Doug Peterson really have to go up with a game plan that is comfortable for Carson. I don't know what it's going to be, but, you know, maybe he's a guy, and there are all kinds of different players. You mentioned 17, where he was, you know, sharp in the first quarter. Hey, go back, look at it. Maybe he's too amped up. You know, I was a guy that, man, if you called the first play of the game a pass, you know, because you thought it was going to be open, oh, man, I was thinking about it for 2 days, you know? And then you usually overthrow the guy by 10 yards because you get so amped up. And it's something you have to be very, very careful of. And I would like to see the Eagles come out early in this game with a high percentage, quick passing game, almost those guaranteed completions. Get Carson into a flow of the game. Get him thinking positively in that first quarter.
All right, let's get your prediction, and I got some other stuff I want to get into real quick. But, Jaws, your prediction for Eagles-Vikings on Sunday.
Looking forward to this game, and I've got the Eagles pulling this one out late, 24-23.
Oh, thank God. All right. Oh, 1-point game! Oh,
well,
my
yeah,
God.
Well, it's the NFL. It should be.
Good enough. Now, you have some locks that you got into, and I believe I heard some of these as well when you were at Ramblewood the other day. You were doing your fine broadcast from out there. That's first off, the setup you guys do at Ramblewood is just pristine. You got to love doing it out there.
Oh, we have a ball, you know, and Baldy is such a great guest, you know, because, you know, Baldy is like me. We're kind of a wonk when it comes to the tape study, and, you know, we love that part of the game, and some people aren't all that crazy about it, but you know, the film doesn't lie. Trey knows that
exactly. I keep trying to tell him.
Yeah, so hey, you know, you know, I got stats, I got video study, I got all this good stuff, and Baldy's the same way, and it's great with the crowd because the crowd reacts to, you know, the fun that we have, and you know. There are other games on TV. They're watching basketball, baseball, football, whatever it may be, and they're watching us just have a good time. So I love doing the live shows.
All right, and then the last thing I got to ask you here, Jaws, we have a study that was done about marriage, and the study was done saying that a man that does all the chores, that means that marriage is going to end in divorce. What do you think about that there, Jaws?
I would disagree with that, totally. I've been married 45 years to the greatest woman in history. I clean the garage. Occasionally, I work around the house. I do the dishes. Occasionally, I will cook. But yeah, I like to keep busy.
There we go. See that?
But that's a lot of occasionally, though.
Hey, I'm a busy guy.
Jaws, always great talking to you, my man. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Ron Jaworski, ladies and gentlemen. There was a lot of
occasionally. Yeah, a lot of occasionally.
All right, we'll jump back into this game even further, as well as give you, I guess, the top candidates that are out there right now. And Sam, I mentioned in our update, coming up for the Phillies open managerial position now with Gabe Kapler being dismissed. We got Michael coming up. We got Eric. We got Graf as well. Time of the Fanatic at 7:13.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
So, 2 seconds ago, if I was told correctly, Trey said he was good on breakfast. Just juices?
Wait, just put me out.
I continue to be impressed by you.
I was juicing.
I came in, I was like, all right, I'm going to call in breakfast. Anybody want anything? Trey holds up his two juices, and he goes, no, I'm on the liquid today.
What juices are we doing?
The green machines.
Oh, the naked things?
Yeah, they're good. Okay.
Green machines.
I've indulged.
So he passed over breakfast.
The system. Especially after all the cake and mimosas I had yesterday. So I'm trying to, flush the system.
Yes. There's still a half a bottle of champagne in the refrigerator.
I'm good, man. I just did inventory.
And then once the call happened, you know, I put in a Western omelet, which I haven't had in a long time.
Bold.
And Trey broke.
Trey heard omelet.
And he was like, actually, real quick, I'm going to get an omelet and some bacon and some sausage.
Yeah, but it's protein.
Yeah, that's good.
Protein. And it's egg white omelet.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's like you're not even eating it at all.
So you're still juicing. So stop questioning his diet, Mark.
I'm impressed.
And I'm going to work out afterwards.
I am impressed.
Yes, I am impressed.
Drinking water.
Look at that. Water.
No coffee.
You had the nice lady on speakerphone.
Yes.
And she goes, hold on a minute. Yeah. She's writing all this down and her pen ran out of ink.
There's a lot.
But no, that's a bold order. I am envious of
it's
you.
Aggressive. It's nice order.
What did you get, Mark? Did you get your Scrapple?
I did not get Scrapple.
You fancy some Scrapple.
I do. I love Scrapple.
Yes, you do.
And you talk to people about Scrapple that aren't from this area and they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, picture the worst thing that you could ever eat, like for you health wise.
And then you fry it.
But it's delicious. And then you fry it, and then you throw it on some eggs, and you're good to go. I love a Scrapple egg and cheese sandwich. Forget about it. Okay.
Well, I have to say, the most underrated of all the breakfast sandwiches is undeniable pork roll egg and cheese.
Pork roll, very solid. Yeah, let me tell you something. Joe Farzetta, my dad.
A little double or triple stack of the pork roll. That's a fine item.
Saturday morning, wake up for some yard work. Joe Farzetta, pork roll, egg, and cheese.
And it's not Taylor Ham, North Jersey.
Yeah, don't waste my time. All right, that's all I got to say. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Ron Jaworski just brought up a great point. I think every single offense needs to keep this in mind. You can't be one-dimensional in the NFL. Sometimes that even goes without saying. But, Trey, when you hear Lane Johnson talk about running the football as much as he was as an offensive lineman. Now, you were in the minority as an O-lineman because you rather pass block than run block.
Yeah.
The little leverage game with a man as tall as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But Lane seems to be a guy that is more of the common mindset for an offensive lineman, which is he rather run block. He, I guess, felt even going back to the Giants game last year that the offense needed to focus more on the run. We have heard this problem in the past a lot with Doug Peterson, going back to your days, obviously, with Andy Reid as well. We have been concerned about the Eagles abandoning the run. Lane Johnson might have become that little angel on the shoulder of Doug Peterson saying, hey, we got a pretty good offensive line that can run block rather well here. And now we got some good running backs in the backfield, like Jordan Howard, a guy that's waiting to break loose, like a guy like Miles Sanders, for instance. Darren Sproles has that quad injury. He didn't practice at all yesterday. Wasn't even limited. He did not participate in practice. Probably going to be made official today that he's going to be out for this game.
Good, then Doug won't be forced to use him.
Well, either that or you were mentioning Boston Scott, Bob, might be active.
I think that's what they do, because Corey Clements missed the last 2 days also with a shoulder. So I think Boston Scott will be activated, and that's going to be your punt returner on Sunday.
So wait a minute, he has a shoulder injury again?
Yeah, is this what's been bothering him all year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's missed yesterday. He missed the last 2 days of practice.
Last year was a knee injury.
But shoulder was earlier this year, right?
Yeah. So when did that happen? When he muffed the ball, the punt return. What was that? What was that? Where the ball?
I think that was against the Jets.
Yeah, that was this past week. He thought it went off his own player's foot, so he was trying to, I think, swat it out of bounds.
And CBS did such a horrible job not showing us replays. Yeah. We never really saw, but it appeared the Jets sideline reacted like it did hit a foot.
But Clement was
regardless,
also,
he still botched the play.
But he also was hurt from the, I believe, the Falcons game when he had the fumble.
That.
Yeah,
when he fumbled the ball, and then came weird, up with a hurt shoulder.
Yes, two fumbles, two hurt shoulders.
Okay,
it's Sidney Jones disease.
Well, is a muff a fumble? Does it go in the books as a fumble?
The play from this past Sunday.
Yeah, does it go as a fumble? Because like a drop snap
fumble
is a fumble on the quarterback.
Yeah,
or a bad snap. Excuse me. Like Jason Kelce, I believe his horrendous snap. I think that one is a fumble.
Yeah.
So on the quarterback.
I'm not sure I don't what know a muff on is. The punt actually. Yeah,
where does a muff fall in line here?
That's at the top of my list.
I thought I was asking the experts.
Yeah, it's at the top of my list.
Sure.
We're on Twitch, by the way. Eric in Trenton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, how are you guys doing this morning?
Good, man.
Yeah, on this marriage thing, I've been with the same woman for 30 years. I've been married for 28. And, yeah, I mean, you can't do everything, but, you know, we divide it up.
Yeah.
I cook. You know, I clean. It seems like I do. Well, she has a bad back. She had a couple of operations and a neck operation. So I end up doing all the laundry. But, I mean, that's what makes it work. You know, you do a little, and she gets, I mean, she's a great woman. She does a ton of stuff for me. You know, she pays all the bills. I just, you know, give her money, and everything's taken care of.
All right.
Which seems to work out.
That's the compromise we're talking about, Eric. That's the compromise.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't be all one-sided one way or another. You know, I can go out with the boys, and she can go out with her girlfriends, which I kind of like because she'll come home a little tipsy.
Now we're just getting into the good stuff.
Uh-huh.
Is your wife at all a cousin of mine? I'm just curious before we delve any deeper. Let me just make sure. All right. No, but Eric, see that's
your cousin of yours.
that's a beautiful thing right there.
Yeah, and I also want to thank Trey Thomas. He signed my two dogs' jerseys down at a fan fest.
All right.
And sadly, I had to put Chumley to sleep like 4 weeks ago, but we got a new one. His name's Winston. Rescued him from Brooklyn, New York, so he ain't a Giants fan no more. He's an Eagles fan.
All right,
cool. I took him out, and they were playing Pee Wee football, so I took him up to the park, and he was rocking his Sproles jersey because that's the only jersey he could fit in. The other ones, you know, they'd just be too tight. But I had my female, and she had Trey Thomas autographed jersey on her back.
All right. Nice. Oh, that's beautiful. All right, who are you picking Sunday, Eric?
I want to see him control the clock. I mean, it doesn't have to be run, but, you know, play action pass, control the clock, keep them off the field, because if their offense is explosive like everybody says they are, you know, they're better on the bench than being out there, and the defense will be fresh.
Mm. I'm with you. Hey, good luck the next time the lady gets a little tipsy, my friend.
Yeah. Hopefully sooner than later.
There we go, Eric. Welcome home.
Somebody call for a plumber.
Wow. All right. It's always good to get to know our callers a little bit more than normal, I assume.
It's a lot of information there.
Sometimes.
Graf's been home. Let's get to Graf here. Graf, what's on your mind, brother?
Eric from Trenton's a national treasure.
He is. He's a gem. He's a real gem.
I love him. But, yeah, the marriage thing, like, of course, that's really, like, you don't say kind of article, you know?
Yeah, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. Oh, if you do all the chores, there's a chance you're probably going to regret being married. Yeah, no kidding. Thanks.
Well, see, that's the thing. I believe
this
study,
science.
Yeah, this is science. studying.
Yeah, that, but that's like,
did somebody get paid to do this?
Oh, yeah,
study?
This
was a study. I mean, what a waste of money.
Yeah, what are you talking about? It was a study.
Yeah. No, Trey, I'm with you. This is Grant, real good. This is a legitimate study, and I believe it's more of a reflection on really, it's not even about the man, but I'm just saying it's about one partner in a marriage walking all over the other, saying that you're doing the chores and that's that.
So you needed a study to tell you that, huh, Mark?
Absolutely.
Okay. Me and Graf could have figured that over.
Some
a couple
of my
beers.
Friends are those guys that are always walked over, and they're still married, unfortunately.
And I feel like, you know, it goes both ways. Like, you obviously can't let your lady do all the work, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, she's definitely going to walk out on you, you know? Like, so, hey, whatever. I like shared chores. Chores are fun, but, you know, she probably carries more of the weight than I do because I do like the yard work, but, you know, in, like, later fall and wintertime, there ain't no yard to work on. So, that is what it is.
Yeah. But this was done by Cambridge University.
Oh, Cambridge! Come on!
Oh, Cambridge! No way! Wow! You don't say. I just wanted to say congratulations to you guys. I didn't really get a chance to do that on your little 1 year anniversary thing. This has probably been the most funny of sports radio that I think I've ever had.
Oh,
and
thanks!
I really appreciate you guys. You guys have a fantastic show. You're fun. You're energetic. You make me laugh. Yesterday was probably one of, like, the coolest days ever. Having Twitch up, watching you guys all, you know, shoot the stuff back and forth with everybody who's been there. It was fantastic.
It was a fun day, man. It was really fun.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and, you know, you guys are awesome. So I just appreciate the opportunity to be able to get on here, help make people laugh, and, you know, continue the relationship with you guys. You're the bomb. And if we're going to talk birds, you know, obviously controlling the clock like Eric said. And, you know, I don't know. Kirk Cousins doesn't scare me. I don't know why you guys keep bringing him up. Yeah, sure, he beat us a couple times.
No, Graf, but like, he sucks.
Yeah, thank you, Jamie.
He sucks.
Really not that difficult.
But he's 5-3 against us.
Irrelevant. Erroneous.
It doesn't matter, Mark. Look, here's the way that I look
at it. It's science,
right?
Graf. Cambridge University has those numbers.
Cambridge's little, like, numbers are far more accurate than your little worries about Kirk Cousins.
I'm just saying, he's not a god-awful quarterback.
You could be worried about Dalvin Cook. You could be worried about Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. But when you bring up Kirk Cousins, your argument becomes invalid.
Who's throwing him the
Kirk
football?
Who cares? You suck.
You're right. I'm sorry.
All right. Good. Thank you.
Go suck. Your cousin
sucks. Love you guys.
Back at you, brother.
See you all later.
Thank you, buddy.
Do you guys want to feel better about this game?
Yeah, please. Yeah, by all means.
Right,
I want to feel better about this game.
Go into Twitter or just Google and search Kirk Cousins gender reveal.
All right. No, I've seen this 100 times.
And he's about 3 feet away from a target, and he's got a gender reveal football, and he basically misses the target.
All right, here's how I
There
know.
You go. Eagles by 100.
30 for 37 for 301 yards and a touchdown last year in a 23-21 win.
Irrelevant. Watch the gender reveal throw. Oh. Eagles by 50.
Okay. The fact that he's having a girl is relevant over him going 30 for 37, 301 against the Birds last year.
He is having a girl.
Your face is annoying me again.
He almost missed the box.
Again,
here's the thing. Trey, is that the best football guy analysis you've ever heard?
Yeah, he almost missed the box.
Next to Poopy Pants.
Yeah, hold on. Let's just review. Let's go over the keys to this game.
Yeah.
Jamie Lynch's keys?
As per Jamie Lynch.
All right.
The number one, can I get a little trench talk music here? I don't mean to defile trench talk.
No. Please, go ahead.
Yeah, but here we go. All right, here we go. Jamie Lynch's keys to the game. Number one. The NFL is weird.
Yes.
All right.
Facts.
Trey, the NFL weird?
NFL is weird.
Number two. Kirk Cousins almost missed the boxes on the gender reveal of his son.
3 feet away.
3 feet away.
He was 3 feet away.
It was 3 feet away.
Yes.
And number three, make your opponent poop their pants. Yeah! That's been Jamie Lynch's keys to the game.
You're welcome.
Breaking it down.
Eagles by 50.
He did almost miss the box.
It's really bad. <All right. laughs>
Let me just say this. Because I am so anti-gender reveal.
It's pretty, they've jumped the shark.
Now, I just got invited to my first one.
Did you?
My niece is having her third child, and my sister texted me and said, yeah, what do you got October 19th? And then it kind of came out that it was a gender reveal. We have something to do.
Oh, congratulations.
There you go. Yeah, sorry.
I will say, at the Super Freak wedding, which is what we will refer to it from now on, my cousin, so he's got three kids, two with his current wife, the woman he just married, one from a previous relationship, and his wife that he married is pregnant with twins.
Oh.
So they did the gender reveal at the wedding. I thought that was cool.
So wait, whose wedding was it that they did the gender reveal?
It was their own wedding.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, cool, yeah. All right.
They didn't hijack the moment. That type of thing. All right. At the Super Freak wedding, they did a gender reveal of their future twins.
And
they're having a boy and a girl.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was
now,
cool.
Who's besides, not strangers, but family and friends, what, do the parents already know on a gender reveal?
No, nobody knows.
Nobody, only like the baker or the
who's
maker.
Who's filling up the balloon? Well, who's telling them? What do you have?
Your doctor call them? You take a sealed envelope from the doctor.
Oh, is that what it is?
And you hand it over to the
too
person.
Too much work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
God,
so the friend, somebody has to know to fill up.
Somebody knows.
Yeah. The doctor and the makers of the item.
Yes, correct.
See, I'd be a jerk and I'd fill it up purple. And just be like,
See, that's why they don't give it to you.
Yeah,
you wouldn't get very much business.
But you had the people had the alligator. They had the big alligator that was part of their gender reveal.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got to bite the balloon.
Yeah, they are in Florida. Yeah.
No, I
of
want,
course it was
on.
Florida.
Here's what we're going to do. You know how there's like Cameo?
Although Jersey's rivaling Florida now.
Yeah, Jersey's really up there right now.
You know how there's Cameo where you can like pay a celebrity a certain amount of money and they'll say happy birthday to your uncle or whatever it might be?
Donovan does it, yeah.
Yeah, Donovan is on there. I think Jaws does it as well.
Antonio Brown did it.
Oh God! I want people. Bob, I'm sure you do it for free. Just people tweet this. Hey, Bob, this is what I'm going to have. They send you an envelope, and you just record yourself and send it to them.
Sure.
And you just go, yeah, it's a boy.
Bob had a baby. It's a boy.
Bob had a baby. It's a boy. Yeah, it's a girl.
I'm in.
Send it to toughholes.com.
That's what we'll do. I thought it was .net, but whatever.
No, .net. Yeah, it is. It's .net. .net.
Right.
Yeah.
I teased this earlier, so I want to make sure we get this in this segment here. But real quick, to put a ball on that, I hate gender reveals. I think they're dumb. But hey, if you're going to get together and have a party, fine. Just
I like parties.
They're fun.
Yeah, I like the party.
Yeah.
Buck Showalter, I really do think, is the next manager of the Phillies. Now, here's the thing.
Is that you or Jamie?
That was Jamie.
Oh, okay.
I am not happy about that. That's who's going to be the next. My gut feeling right now, listening to all these people and talking to a guy like Jim Salisbury yesterday, that's been the name at the forefront. And I believe that they didn't move on from Gabe Kapler until they knew Buck Showalter wanted to take this position. Now, there's no story out there yet. There's no report that he is. Like they're not in talks. There's no story like that. If you're asking a gut feeling who's the next manager of the Phillies, it's going to be Buck Showalter. I'm not thrilled about that. Considering the... really, the free agent class you have to take right now for major league managers.
Wait a minute, man.
Whoa.
You're giving me a whole lot right now, man. You know, before we move on to the new manager, I think we need to take a little time to say goodbye to Gabe Kapler. How do I
let's open it up and chat. Throwing balls as hard as they can throw it.
A lot of high fives.
Gabe was a very valiant effort. I think he just physically is presenting beautifully right now. Guys are dripping with sweat, kicking ass and taking names. We love him. I think it's incredible.
What do you guys have? What would you like to talk about?
All right, what's on your minds? Rock solid human being.
I feel you.
Let's open it up and chat.
All right, let's go, Phillies.
No Reese Hoskins. No chin. No nothing. It's so
hard. He really doesn't like when he's throwing balls as hard as they can throw it.
Dave, you're my boy. You're my boy. Good luck, my man.
Now I'm emotional.
All right. Now I'm emotional.
All right. Cool.
Is going. You can ask him. Take your names. I hear you. I understand what you're saying. Makes sense. Is
where we've been. It's a game.
In honor of Gabe Kapler today, yes. And Trey, I'm glad you're doing this little memorial.
Yes.
Disappointed that we lost the game, but proud of those guys.
I want everyone today,
very proud of those guys,
to treat today like Gabe Kapler Day. When you're at work, this is going to be really hard for some people.
It no really matter what pisses me off when balls go underneath Reese Hoskins' chin.
Thank you.
There you go.
One more time, Jamie. I kind of stepped on it.
It really pisses me off when balls go underneath Reese Hoskins' chin.
Ladies and gentlemen, in honor of Gabe Kapler and his tenure, two seasons as the Phillies manager, when you're at work today, in honor of Gabe Kapler, don't hustle.
Disappointment.
There will be no consequences.
Out of those guys.
Just honor Gabe Kapler in the way you want to be honored.
Names. Wow. We love
all right, I'm out.
It's incredible.
Just going to miss Gabe.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Well, apparently Buck Showalter's going to be your manager now.
And hopefully he says things that he thinks he's getting $20 from the rest of the team whenever he says them.
Okay.
I don't like it when balls are underneath Reese's chin. Where's my $5? I said it, guys. You said I wouldn't.
Now we got that out of the way. Yeah. Okay, I can move on now.
Thank you for that.
Good job, Chuck.
Now I'm emotional, man. Now,
I know. I got a heavy heart all of a sudden.
I'm going to miss you, Gabe. Yeah. I'm going to miss you, Gabe.
Gabriel, my boy.
Can you imagine how aggressive a goodbye hug is from Gabe Kapler?
I feel bad
for any of the clubhouse assistants that were like, hey, man, it's been real. I just feel like those bro hugs, those slaps on the back.
Yeah.
But I think he would go, I think Gabe would go bro hug
to full
hug.
So do I. Oh, yeah.
Then back to like a slap, tap, bro hug out.
You think he's a kisser? Like on the forehead,
no,
cheek kind of thing?
But I think it's a slap.
I can see it.
Bro hug, full hug, grab the back of the head on some of the guys.
Ooh, that's when you know it's real.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's intimacy.
Like Vince Vaughn, Anchorman. I hate you, Ron Burgundy, but damn it, I respect you. Kiss on the forehead. I think that hug. You know what? Maybe he goes due bacio. Maybe he goes two kisses. Maybe he goes both cheeks.
I can see that.
You know,
only while wearing the fedora, though. He only does the double kiss in the fedora.
In the fedora and the blazer hoodie combo, which still confuses me.
That was wild.
You know, it's just because it's formal, but then you might have to get away.
Yeah.
There might be a workout somewhere that you have to get to.
Yeah. All right, we're being jerks.
We miss can't. You, Gabe.
No, we're not.
That was a thought out goodbye.
It really was.
Beautiful,
By the way, on Twitch, there is one hell of a glare there, Trey.
Yeah.
Did somebody open a window?
It's like I got the sun.
When
right
did
there.
That
it's
happen?
Because they just put in the new windows out there. So
the blockage is down?
Yeah, the blockage is out.
Trey, right now, I want to keep this segment going for the people
on
Twitch.
I think God is like shining upon him.
Yeah, well, he is.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
That's not the light of God. It's the light of Gabe right now. Thanking you for your tribute you just did. That was a beautiful moment.
All right.
You look radiant.
Yes, I am.
I just want to marvel at this for a while. Sam, look at Trey.
You can't be good lighting.
You can't.
You can't.
Right. People on Twitch are getting quite the treat right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'll try to figure out a way to block that for you a little bit later. All right, coming up, I will name a couple of the other guys that are on the list right there for manager, as well as some other people want to break down the chores in the household.
Hell, I just saw the rays of sun on Trey.
Yeah.
It's like angelic, Trey.
It really
it
does.
Is. Angelic, all right.
Hallelujah! There you go. Raise you up on eagle's wings, my friend.
Yes.
We got Mark and Blackwood. We got Scott. We got Dante. Oh, my man, Dante. We got Mike in Philly as well. Time at the Fanatic at 7:44.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
That Phillies press conference will happen today at 1 o'clock. And I don't know if they're going to use the same tribute that we just used that Trey loaded up for Gabe Kapler, but I think it would behoove them to do so. You know, it'd be a class move by a class organization. That's all I'd have to say. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. If you're watching on Twitch right now, I believe I have relieved the glare. So my apologies. Trey, you still look angelic, though. Don't you worry.
Oh, that's good. Good job.
You know who has you right now? You know who's got your back?
What's that?
Brian Dawkins.
Does he?
Because I found the cardboard cutout of Brian Dawkins that we have here.
Okay.
And I just put it over that window.
And then there you go.
Because we're having construction done, so a lot of things are moved around. So here's the thing. Here's the thing that bothered me. The Brian Dawkins cardboard cutout was next to the trash can. Now I'm like, well, that's disrespectful.
Yes,
whoever did that doesn't know.
Very.
I don't know if we have some Cowboys fan working in construction here. I don't know if we have some Giants fan working in construction, whatever it may be. But that should not be the truth. Did it just fall?
Oh, it just fell.
It's okay.
That's okay. It's just illuminating your chest.
Yes, that's cool.
Your pecs.
Yeah.
I'll fix it when I go back.
Pecs are popping.
Look at those pecs. He did have your back for at least a second there. But here are the names that are out there in terms of replacing Gabe Kapler. Buck Showalter, who I think the betting circuit says will be the Phillies' next manager. Not who I want, but if you look at all these other guys, I think Joe Girardi would be a better manager. I think Joe Maddon would be a better manager. I think even Mike Socha would be a better manager. Dusty Baker. Fifth on my list right now really is Buck Showalter. Now, the positive I take out of it, if I'm trying to be positive and I'm still a fan, I want the Phillies to do well, I do believe there will be a quick turnaround. And as we know, John Middleton isn't exactly the most patient of people. So he has historically, over the course of his career, Buck Showalter, turned teams around fast, but they just don't last. I've mentioned this number three times, or multiple occasions this year. Three different times in his career, in 20 years as a Major League manager, only three times he's won over 90 games. And this guy's supposed to be the greatest manager ever, like in some people's opinions.
He turns teams around, then he leaves, and they win championships.
Go figure.
Yeah.
How's that work?
I don't know.
That's odd, isn't it?
Well, if he can put the Phillies to the fringe of a championship, I'm all for it.
Let's hope
that's
the case.
Bring Gabe back and let him win.
Let's hope that is the case. But here's the thing. I think this would excite most people more than anything. And it's what Jim Salisbury talked about. I talked about it yesterday with him on NBC Sports Philadelphia, right when the news broke. I talked about it with him. We were on the old TV as well as the website. And then he called into Mike Missinelli yesterday afternoon. And Jim Salisbury, I'll give you the two different cuts we have here. Jim Salisbury was asked point blank, and this is what would excite people the most. If they go out and they get Gerrit Cole.
He had a 1.82 ERA in his last 22 starts?
I did not know that. I knew he was a good pitcher, but that's pretty damn good.
Damn. He looked good last night.
Sure did. How about that? In the playoffs. Yeah. Crunch time.
Yeah, the playoffs. I remember the playoffs. Remember when the Phillies went to the playoffs a lot? That was fun.
That was fun.
But listen to this. He was on with Mike Missinelli yesterday, and like most people, they'd be amped up if the Phillies went out and got another major free agent acquisition like Gerrit Cole. Here is Jim Salisbury when he was asked yesterday by Mike Missinelli as to whether or not the Phillies will make a play for Gerrit Cole.
Absolutely.
They do.
Make a play. Well, why wouldn't you? You have to make the phone call. You have to see what the market is going to be. You have to be in that market and see where it goes, and maybe just like you were in the market for the two big guys last year.
Absolutely, is what he said right there. And that's what you want to see. Now, here's the other play to it. Let's talk about the business aspect of it. To get people excited the most about next year, it's not about a manager. It's about the players on the field. A great pitcher like Gerrit Cole would get people very excited for hopefully a step back to what we saw a year ago from Aaron Nola. And then Gerrit Cole behind him? All right, let's party. Let's see what you got there.
The manager is kind of irrelevant until they fix their other issues.
I agree.
Right.
I agree. And the number one thing they need going forward is pitching. So let's look at it a little further here in the business aspect of it. And Jim Salisbury goes on to talk about two guys that are the clients of, a well-known, very well-known agent, where Jim Salisbury here talks about Gerrit Cole as well as Anthony Rendon of the Nats.
You have the money to play in that deep end of the pool. You need to do it. He's a Scott Boras guy, so is Anthony Rendon. They have to be in that market, too. You have to jump in, see what it's going to take, mix it up. Maybe you come out on top. You know, and both of those guys are represented by Scott Boras. His signature client is here. He does not want his signature client, Bryce Harper, dying on the vine in Philadelphia without winning a championship. He has a chemistry with John Middleton. He knows John Middleton will spend money and has money. Look for Scott Boras, master manipulator. Call him whatever you want. He's master deal maker. Look for him to...
Sorry, we cut it off a little earlier, but basically that you get the gist of it there. That they are going to go after Gerrit Cole. They're going to be in on Anthony Rendon. That's what you need to do in the offseason. I don't think Rendon happens. I think they have a much better shot at Gerrit Cole.
What's Rendon already been offered? It was 220 over
220 over, I think, seven years.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love it, obviously. Why not? Go all in, get them both.
Hey, Bob, ask me if I care about John Middleton's money.
Yeah, right?
Do you care about John Middleton's money?
You missed the opportunity there, Bob. No, Mark, I don't.
Go figure.
Go spend it.
Go spend it. But here's, so now you're managerless, you're pitching coachless. Is Charlie Manuel going to be back as your hitting coach? Who knows?
So I read today, no.
No, okay. So then you have a situation where you're going to try to sign free agents. Now, you got a lot of time here. So we'll see how many weeks it takes. Well, it took 2 weeks to basically fire a manager. How long is it going to take to get a new manager in?
Oh, and it took you 12 years to sign Bryce Harper in the offseason. So things don't happen quickly in the Phillies front office.
No, they don't.
No.
But JT Realmuto, he's a guy that'll be consulted, not just about whether they have to move on from Gabe, but as who he wants as the next manager. Because JT
Realmuto,
going
to pay him like $100, $120 million.
Probably. And he's the guy you want to see stick around here for quite some time.
Yeah. He gave up Sixto Sanchez for him. He better.
Best catcher in baseball? He's going to make some money.
First time I think the Phillies can ever say that.
Yeah. He's going to make some money. Mike in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, bud.
I like to say this. A very wise man told me that marriage is not a partnership, because a partnership is everybody brings 50%. Marriage is a team, and in every team you have a franchise player. And just like every franchise player, and you are a franchise player if you are bringing in more resources. Of course, you do more and wash dishes when you're not bringing in as much as your wife. That lets you know you are not a franchise player. Am I right?
I hear you. That's a great point.
So that's why you see these men that are doing this, because they aren't franchise players. And that comes from my grandfather.
That's a wise comment. Your grandfather's a wise man.
So.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.